Have your Bibles with you. Galatians chapter number 5. The book of Galatians chapter number 5. We're going to begin reading right on the onset of that chapter. We're going to read down a few verses. Apostle Paul writes this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled or ensnared again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. He did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. The title of the message this morning is, in simplicity, very simple, personal relationship with Christ. Paul had quite a few things to tell the Galatians, amen, to tell those brethren who were struggling, being threatened by Judaizers, amen, who were compelling their brethren to be circumcised and go back to obeying the Mosaic law. Both Paul and the gospel were under attack, amen. And if that attack had succeeded, Christianity might have become just another Jewish sect, might have become a thing dependent upon circumcision, not keeping the law instead of being, amen, a law of grace. It's a strange thing to think that if Paul's opponents had had their way, the gospel might have been kept for Jews, and we might never have had the chance to know the very love of Jesus Christ. Now in the very first verse of the opening chapter of the letter, Paul had to defend his apostleship. It has been said that the one to replace Judas, a man who was a traitor, should be one who was there from the baptism of John till Jesus was taken from them. So they felt that Paul was no apostle at all. But he defends his apostleship in the very first verse of chapter 1 by saying he wasn't ordained by men, but by Jesus Christ. In the first chapter, verse 17, let's read that. Go back to the very first chapter. Amen. And let's go to verse number 17. He says this, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He said, neither went I up to Jerusalem. That is, amen, he didn't go there all at once. Why? He didn't go to confer with the brethren. Otherwise, he's saying, I didn't go and consult with the apostles, amen, who were there, amen. But I was, amen, and to be instructed by them in regards to the teaching of the Christian church. The design, really, of this statement is to show that in no sense did he derive his commission from man. Amen. He acknowledges there were apostles before me. Amen. So when Paul is saying that is, he regards himself as an apostle also. They were, he admits, apostles before he was. But he felt also that he had original authority with them. And he did not go to them to receive instruction. Amen. Or to derive his commission. Or to have them lay hands on him. Amen. Acknowledging him to be an apostle. Now we know that several of the apostles remained in Jerusalem for a considerable time. Amen. Especially after the ascension of Jesus Christ. But not only was he in question, Galatian brethren were in terrible shape. Amen. But he wasn't only taken into question, but so was the gospel. Listen, you come down in Galatians 1 and 6, and listen to what he says. I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto, what did he say? Another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's awful strong. What's he say? He says it again. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, as you look at some of these verses in this letter, we want to look at the first verse in the fifth chapter. The Galatian church was in trouble, and they were in trouble with unrest. Galatians 5 and 1 says, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's he saying? Christ had called them to liberty or freedom, but they were getting involved again with the yoke of bondage. What is it? What is Paul really saying? It was Paul's position that the way of grace and the way of law were mutually exclusive. The way of law makes salvation dependent on human achievement. But the man who takes away a grace simply casts himself in his sin upon the mercy of God. There was nothing we could do to save ourselves. We were wholly dependent on Jesus Christ to deliver us. There was nothing in us but sin, which had dominion over every one of us. So Paul went on to explain that if you accepted circumcision, that is to say, if you accepted one part of the law, logically you had to accept the whole law. You could not accept part of it. Well, the Jews, or the, amen, the ones of Judah, the Jews of Judah, felt that the Christians needed to at least keep circumcision along with salvation. But James 2 and 10 says, whosoever shall keep the whole, amen, keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he's guilty of all of it. Let me illustrate. The military is governed by what they call the UCMJ. What does that mean? The Uniform Code of Military Justice. The military's Bible, so to speak, amen, on everything refers back to that manual or to that code. Amen. And also, to become an American citizen, one must adhere to all the land, all the laws of the land, not just a few things he put on his application. The same was true with the Mosaic Law. One had to comply with the whole law. I am concerned this morning. I was studying another message all week, but God seemed like changed this thing. I am concerned today that there are some who profess salvation, but lack that personal relationship with Christ they once had. Yes, they come to services. Yes, they pray over their food. Yes, they even get involved in things in church. But they've never really given up all to Jesus. Now, we want to look at some points we need to consider this morning for a little bit. First of all, liberty. Most of us know what the word means. It means freedom. Or a right. Now, we also know that Jesus gives us liberty when we are saved. He gives us freedom from sin, freedom from bondage, freedom from Babylon, and even freedom from self. Well, Paul told the brethren at Galatia, stand fast in the liberty whereas Christ had made them free. I'm afraid that some have never reached that plateau. Only a personal relationship with Christ gives one the freedom they need in their soul. The liberty that Jesus Christ gives us is wonderful. But there's another kind of liberty the church needs to be aware of. Let's look at two liberties for just a little bit, as there is a vast difference. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Sorry to say, one's love of the liberty of being free from sin and bondage, but they still want to make room for the flesh also to have its liberty. A 119th Psalm, verse 45 says this, and I'll walk at liberty, for I seek what? Thy precepts, or thy commandments, thy law, thy statutes. Amen. What does it say from another translation? I will live in perfect freedom because I try to obey your teachings. Amen. Now, we know that word precepts means law or teachings. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, set me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. I'm very concerned, for some seem to be tossed when it comes to liberty. Paul said we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. excuse me. But the Galatian brethren were tossed. They were troubled. And there was a reason behind it. They no longer were settled. They no longer were steadfast. He actually said, amen, to stand fast, showing they weren't standing fast. Verse 1 says, they were troubled. Why were they troubled? They were troubled because of who they associated themselves with. Come on, we're going to read it. Verse 7 said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who hindered you to take you back under the law? Paul didn't say what hindered you, but he said, who hindered you? Somebody said, how did he know? Go back to Galatians 3 and 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should obey not the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only will I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? What's he saying? They were going back to fleshly ordinances contained in the law, amen, which he pointed out was circumcision. You cannot, Church of God, hear me plain. You cannot keep associating with ones who oppose the teachings that you were raised in and still stand steadfast in the liberty in Jesus Christ. God help us. This happened to Galatia. Galatian brethren were in terrible shape. He reprimands through all the chapters of that, amen, of that book. He points out something. You did run well. Who hindered you? Amen. You're troubled. Amen. You begun in the spirit. You're finishing in the flesh. Amen. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. Let's read it from another translation. It doesn't change it. Just amplifies it. Be not so deceived and misled. Evil companionship, communion, associations corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and character. Paul starts his verse by saying, be not deceived by their smooth and reasonable arguments. They've got human arguments. Amen. They'll argue you to death. Not scripturally, but humanly. Amen. Associations with ones who are continually running down the church, or I'll bring it just a little bit closer to us. God's acres will deceive you or mislead you. But not just God's acres. I'm not talking about the acres out there. I'm talking about the people associated with God's acres. How can you run around or associate, amen, with people that's against the teachings here Amen. And still stand steadfast. No more than Galatia could do it. Amen. With the Judaizers. Amen. Somebody said, I don't agree with you. I didn't preach this to agree with you. I preached it to agree with God. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled again, Galatia, with the yoke of bondage. What's it mean to be entangled? It means ensnared. Paul said evil communications. Why is it called evil? You know what it does to you? It brings doubt. It brings unrest. And causes one to begin to question. And they question many times what they know is right. What did he say in verse 3 of chapter 3, Galatians? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, although are you now made perfect by the flesh? What's he saying? Are you so foolish that God got you started, amen, with the spirit, and now you're turning to complete your run in the flesh? One start leaning to their own understanding. They begin to question. You associate with some of these people, and then what do you hear? Well, I heard something about Brother Decker. You know, a long time ago, I heard something about Sister Cummings, Sister Karen, and those people out there. Amen. They wrangle and they jangle. Of course, if they read Facebook, you'd have to agree with that many times. And I'm going to tell you again, church, you get on that Facebook and you start blasting away and you start arguing over religion, there's other people who read that. There's unbelievers that read that and they think, look at that. They fight and fuss up with God's acres all the time. Come on. And if somebody's dressed ungodly, don't punch like. Amen. Amen. God bless your heart. Amen. Why would you, a Christian who believes in a standard, say like somebody dressed not in a standard? Why? Like somebody in a, amen, slacks? Somebody maybe, amen, with their hair all cut off. Like. What's that tell you? You wish you had it. You wish you was like that. You wish you could be like that. You like that. But you can't be that way. You're under bondage. That's what you're saying. Like. Amen. Let's go on. Galatians ran well. Here's a whole congregation. Paul, chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, he could let them went. He could let them go. Right back to Judaism. But if he did that, amen, the gospel might have been, amen, perverted and just been for the Jews only. Right back, the Jews would have got their way. They'd have dragged them back into circumcision. They'd have dragged them back into the whole law. And the gospel would be of none effect. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Give your whole heart to God. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. What's he going to do? He's going to direct thy paths. Don't be wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Amen. Now, this influence are like Judaizers. Watch church who you fellowship and associate with. It'll rob you of your precious experience with God. What did he say? You ran well. Hey, you started out in the Spirit. You were doing great. Who hindered you? And they hindered you to a place you wouldn't obey the truth. Now, when you get into disobedience, something has happened. You ran well. He's saying you looked happy. You looked joyous. You looked revived. You looked content. But now you're nervous. You're downcast. And you're discontented all the time. What did he say in verse 8? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Christ didn't make you like that. Christ didn't change you over. What is he saying? Galatia, your associations has troubled you. This influence has made your running get bogged down. You can't seem to get settled. You're tossed. It's going to cause you much trouble. Galatia had gotten into trouble. Listen, look at verse number 4, Galatians 5 and 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, what did he say? You're fallen from grace. You don't show the grace of God in your life no more. You can't overcome nothing. Every little thing troubles you. Why? You show. You've fallen from grace. You have no trouble. Christ has become no effect unto you. Otherwise, you're receiving no advantages from serving Christ. And it's vain for you to try to unite the two systems. You must have the law and know Christ, or Christ and no law. You cannot have allegiance to both. He said you're fallen from grace, from the gospel. They have been brought into grace of the gospel. But now, by readopting the Mosaic law, they'd apostatize from the gospel, amen, as a system of religion, and had lost the grace that was communicated to their souls, by which they were preserved in a state of salvation. The peace and love of God, amen, they received by Jesus Christ, could not remain in the hearts of those who had rejected Christ. They had actually fallen from grace. Amen. And whether they ever rose again, we don't know. We don't know if this congregation ever survived or not. We don't know if they ever made a comeback or not. We don't know if they ever took Paul's admonition, because they started out, amen, by not even accepting his apostleship or the gospel. They had therefore, amen, fallen from grace. It seems like many today are justified by their own conduct and by what they know. Their own works, their own self-righteousness. And And if you could be justified in any other way than by Jesus Christ, you don't need him. That's what you're telling him. I don't need you. Galatia, you started in the Spirit. Something or someone switched you over. Now you're going back and getting that old yoke of bondage and bringing that into your life. And what's happening? You're troubled. You're not only troubled, you've fallen from grace. They had actually fallen, amen, withdrawn from Christ. Why? Going back to be justified by keeping parts of the law. Amen. And Paul was saying, amen, they would not need him if they could be justified by the law. And so what? He become of no effect to them. They would derive no benefit from serving Christ. A man who can be justified by his own obedience does not need the aid or the merit of another. And if it was true, as they seem to suppose, that they could be justified by the law, it followed that the work of Christ was in vain as far as they was concerned. Otherwise, the gospel that Paul preached to them had no effect for them. Amen. He said, whosoever you who are justified by the law. Amen. Let's go on. You are fallen from grace. Galatians or Romans 3:20, listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. They had actually apostatized from their original stand. As we begin to wrap this message up, there are no doubt ones who have got themselves in condition pretty much like the Galatians. You need to be careful of your associations, church. I cannot stress this enough. Why? The enemy will use people, and they won't be bad people. They'll be good people. They'll carry their Bible. They'll be just as faithful to church as you are. But they have another gospel than what you have been taught and what you have learned and what you once, amen, stood in. But there's ones that's got themselves in that condition. They've lost that personal connection. They still go to church. They even put forth effort to read the Bible, to pray, but that personal connection they once had with Christ just doesn't seem to be there. They're tossed and tossed by every little thing they disagree with, and it gets worse. They start out maybe with a couple things, but now nothing pleases them. They find fault with everything. That one shouldn't have testified now. I didn't care if that song didn't go along with the service. Pick, 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 pick. What's happening? The Spirit of God, what you started in, amen, is getting grieved. Getting grieved. And the next thing you know, you're leaning completely, almost wholeheartedly on the flesh. Amen. God help us. People, things begin to move them from their steadfast. And if you don't get anchored, church, in your spiritual house, is going to collapse completely. I don't know how many were in such, I don't know if the whole church was in bad shape at Galatia. More than likely not. But I don't know, I haven't read, it's maybe a commentator's got it in history. I don't know if Galatia ever rose up again to be what they once were. But I know this, the Apostle Paul was a wise master builder. And I know this, chapter after chapter after chapter in Galatians, he points out the problem, the need. And the main problem of this whole book was their associations with Judaizers. When your spiritual house collapses, it's a great fall. To be raised in truth, church, to be raised, Church of God teaching. Amen. And apostatize, what a fall you're going to take. And I would not even want to think about standing before Jesus Christ, knowing that he gave me the truth, and I wouldn't walk in it. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Who said that? Jesus. Said, if you, amen, hear those sayings of mine, and do what I say, you're a wise man. You're very wise. The rains will descend, the floods will come, the winds will blow and beat upon the house, and you're not going to fall. Why? You're founded upon the sayings. You're founded upon a rock. Amen. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. I don't think anybody wants to be considered a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And I understand there's even places along the river, even the Jordan and different places, amen, that during the heat and the drought would kind of dry up and get shallow. But when the rains would come and the winds would blow, Jordan would fill back up. Amen, and even overflow. It says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Same rain, he says, it's going to descend. The floods are going to come and the winds are going to blow. And it beat upon the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great. Otherwise, the fall is going to be of such greatness that everyone would know that you fell. Literally speaking, the house built upon the sand is beat upon by floods and rains. Its foundation gradually wears away. It gets weaker and weaker and it falls. What happens? Usually falls into the stream and is carried away and destroyed. Likewise, so falls the Christian. Amen. If he doesn't continue to walk in the light. As we begin to close the message, I ask a question. How is your personal experience with Christ? How is it going? Stronger or weaker? Are you engaged in the work of God, or are you just enduring the work of God? Do you come in this morning and just look at the clock? How much longer? How much longer? Can't wait. Get out. Get to a restaurant. Go somewhere. Now I know all of us can have thoughts, but to dwell on them things and live on those things continually, amen, is going to do something to your soul. Is your experience going stronger or weaker? Galatia was a great congregation. At one time, no doubt, had great influence, especially on the Judaizers. But the devil didn't give up. Those Judaizers wanted those Christians back into the law. And they weren't about to give up. And as long as they could get them associating with them and troubling them, throwing doubt in their mind, getting them to question, what happens? Paul and the gospel would have little effect on them. I say they was a great congregation, had great influence, but they cool off. They were once taken in again. Again, Paul says. Troubled again. And deceived. And slowly were losing the grace of God out of their soul to the what? To the place that Paul said what? You have fallen from grace. And if that's your condition this morning, you've lost that personal contact with Jesus Christ, we need to do something. And we need to do it fast. We don't need to, amen, procrastinate. We don't need to put it off and say in a better time, amen, I got myself in a fix now. The only one that's going to get you out of that fix is going to be Jesus Christ. You're not smart enough to get out of it. We're not wise enough. How about it? As we close this morning, is your personal experience stronger? Are you growing stronger spiritually or weaker? Watch out. You'll be like the one that built his house upon the sand, and those winds and the rain, amen, are going to beat on that foundation. And when you go down, great is going to be the fall of it. I bring the message to a close this morning. Amen. Feeling that I have done what the Lord wanted me to do. But if something is troubling you, the best thing you can ever do is what? Unhook from it. Stay away from it. God is so good to warn you. You need to take heed. Or what's going to happen? They're going to have you right back building on the sand again. Amen. Let us stand.